Well, let's welcome you back to This Week in the Association. I'm Rob Panier, and this week I get to welcome back my good buddy Kevin Luco, as the two of us are going as a pair today. So, Kevin, welcome back to the show.
Yeah, this is going to be an unusual format, you and I without a guest. That hasn't happened much lately. Either we've had somebody on, or I've been kind of sidetracked with my career change, so it's been a... I know this is going to sound like an understatement, but it's been a strange 2020 thus far.
Yes, it has been. And a lot of people don't know that you did switch to becoming a different manager where you're at. So why don't you tell us a little bit about that so people just kind of get an idea what's going on.
Yeah, I switched from what I was doing before to I now manage what they call it, wine spirits, but let's just put in the good old boys form. It's a... manage a liquor store, so yes, I'm selling beer and booze now, and with all the stuff going on lately, business has just been exploding. We've more than doubled our regular business. It's what I've learned, to drinkers, Busch Light is equal to everyone else's toilet paper right now.
They're stocking up. Is that what you're telling
yes.
us?
Yeah, I mean, I went from, we usually sell like, I don't know, 200, 300 cases a week, and to last week we sold 754 cases.
Oh.
I don't know what people were buying them 6, 7, 8 at a time, and I really don't know why they need that much in one shot. There's just a lot of paranoia going around right now about liquor stores are going to get shut down, and... but it won't happen because it's considered an essential business. And, you know, so many people have laughed at me when I've said this, but there's truth to it that there's some people with alcohol addictions where if you deny them alcohol because you're shutting a liquor store down, they go through alcohol withdrawals and lots of time end up in the hospital. Well, if this pandemic is taking off, like some think it might, they're going to be clogging up hospital beds that you could be using for people with much serious conditions. So got to factor that in. Plus, boy, you know, I hate to be I'm working for a company that owns a liquor store. I hate to be a single person owning a liquor store being told to close up shop, and all of a sudden you have all these desperate people wanting alcohol. I sure wouldn't feel safe on locking my doors at night because... I can just see the break-ins. I don't know if you saw the news in Denver. Denver tried to close all the liquor stores and dispensaries out there. And I guess it lasted 2 hours because the backlash was so bad.
You know, I had not really understood the craze to buy up everything like there's never going to be that again. Okay, but it actually kind of hit me a couple days ago that there were a lot of people who were probably very concerned that they're not going to have money in another couple of 3 weeks. So they're thinking, I better buy now while I have money in my pocket, or else I may not have food and stuff later on because I can't buy it. So, I mean, even if you got whatever amount of money the government's going to help you with, I do get that there's some legitimate concerns that things could go wrong for you and you may not have what you need. So you better get it while you can, you know, so. I get it.
But toilet paper?
I guess if you're thinking that a month from now you may not be able to buy that, I mean, the idea that it's not going to be available anywhere is a little absurd to me. You know, there are still factories making toilet paper out there somewhere. There are still truck drivers delivering. Okay.
I know right now many places it's on allotment where they're only giving like stores like so many cases each truck. But look, I have four dogs at home. They've never used toilet paper their whole lives.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, if it gets to the point where, you know, you're getting closer to summer and you don't have toilet paper, just go outside and scoot your butt across the lawn and you're all cleaned up.
Yeah, it's a little over the top. I'm not going to deny that with you. But I'm glad.
I tell you what, the people that own bidets are looking pretty smart right now.
Yes, they are. But you know, we're glad that you were able to get away and spend a little time with us today. So that's pretty awesome. So this is like your one day off of the week now. Is that kind of how that's working out for you?
I'm thinking I'll be able to take Sunday off. So I might be able to have my I did go in for a little while this morning for work, but I'm thinking I may be able to have Sunday off. Like get to what I've been doing. Well, what have you been doing on week with your spare time?
Well, I still have
Would
stuff to
you
do.
normally be spending watching sports or?
Well, the funny thing for me has been, I mean, normally I would have got, been covering Iowa Wild hockey right now, and been getting ready for American Association baseball. But the funny thing is, especially since you and I started really devoting into the show, I a lot of times can't even tell you what's going on in Major League Baseball because I'm never watching. I sit in front of my computer night after night watching two, three games on American Association TV. And I'm kind of oblivious to what's going on. So this hasn't been a huge impact on me other than hockey being gone and me not, I was enjoying Iowa Wild hockey and hoping that I'd be watching playoffs, coming up here in another couple of weeks, but unfortunately that's over. So, just been reading a bunch and watching TV a little bit, and that's about it. I got nothing, Kevin. Nothing whatsoever. What about you? What are you doing? No, Minnesota, no Iowa Wild hockey. What do you got going on?
I have rediscovered a former passion of mine, horse
Uh-oh.
racing.
Oh, all right.
There are still tracks in the southern U.S. that are still running. They don't have crowds, and there's measures in place where they're doing social distancing in the paddocks and that. But if you watch FS1 on Saturday afternoon, they have America's Day at the Races. And they skip around between two or three horse tracks and show races all day. Then they do the same thing on Sunday where they start on FS2 and then switch to FS1 for like 4 hours and then go back to FS2 for another 5, 6 hours of horse racing. Well, they give you a couple of websites you can go on, and if you wanted to bet, you can start up an account and put money in and bet along with the races as you're watching on TV. Just like if you're, doing the pari mutuel wagering at horse tracks where, the hardcores are upstairs watching races all across the U.S. Well, you can do that from home. And what I did was it's been probably a good, nearly 25 years since I've went to the horse track consistently. I just kind of played along mythically. So I've got my pen and tablet out, and I'm like, okay, I'm putting $2 on this horse to win place show at this track. That starts in 50, because the website's really good. It tells you what race is coming up next, what are the odds, how the horses have been running lately. So I did that all day. I just kind of watched Saturday. But then Sunday I got more into the mythical wagering, and I would have lost a mythical $60. So it's probably good that we kept it mythical instead of actually starting up an account. But tell you what, it was a good way to spend a Sunday.
Well, yeah, it's kind of a nice occupying your time kind of thing. I have been very fortunate that, Steve Montgomery and Mike Meyer are back doing shows with me, and Josh Robertson is doing one down there in Cleveland now for the Railroaders, and two of the Division III football coaches I've been doing stuff with during football season reached out to me to kind of do shows to kind of fill time for people. So I got stuff going on there, but. The big thing I have to say, Kevin, is that it's good to see people kind of looking out for each other this time, and it's really aggravating to see some of these complete dumbasses doing the stupidest things to get attention or whatever. I'm shaking my head at some of the dumb things people are doing, Kevin.
Yeah, I've heard a little bit about this today with people that are going into grocery stores and pretending to sneeze on produce and cough on other people, and it's just, yeah, it's that attitude that kind of has taken over America. People just always seem to crave attention.
Yeah, it just doesn't make sense. I saw that some idiot in Missouri was licking all the deodorant things at a Walmart, and Some moron in Pennsylvania went and coughed all over the produce and meat in a store in Pennsylvania. I'm thinking, what is going on in your head to do something that dumb? I mean, just dumb. I just, man, I mean, if there's any humor that you see in that, I think we need to find a sterilization center for you because you sure shouldn't be procreating at this point. I'm sorry, but wow. Crazy.
Speaking of entertaining, though, and almost getting us back on the topic of baseball, I don't know if you folks have saw it, but if you go on Joe Buck's Twitter account, and I know he could be a polarizing figure, but like I've mentioned before, if you've ever heard Sean Aronson's episode of Voice Behind the Voice with Joe Buck, I think you would see Joe Buck in an entire new light. What Joe Buck has been doing is people are sending home videos in for him, into him. And he's been providing play-by-play.
Oh, nice.
Like he had one the other day of two dogs running around the yard. It's been pretty humorous. So, and what he's been doing is if he uses your video, you pledge to donate so much money to a local food shelf or a charity such as that to help out during the COVID-19 thing. But yeah, his Twitter account's been pretty fun to watch this week.
I think we might have to send in something just asking him to do the introduction to the show. What do you think about that? Maybe he could just give like a
Well,
little. What do you think?
you know, it's possible.
It's time for This Week in the
Are
Association. I'm Joe Buck, and here's Robin Kevin. Something like that, man. That'd be awesome.
I tell you what, I kind of did my own spin on it last night. I let one of my dogs out, and I actually started cheering when he took a dump.
Kevin, that's definitely scraping the bottom of the barrel for entertainment there, boy. That's really something, boy.
I
I'm
tell
not
you
gonna.
what, one of my friends, John Winter, he was heavily involved with the Duluth Superior Dukes franchise. He came up with an idea. He goes, "Well, you know what you should do to make it even more entertaining is put a bunch of numbers in your front yard, and everyone can bet on it, and wherever he takes a dump, or whatever's the closest number to it wins."
Exactly. That man, that's got some style to it. Man, the things you think of when you get creative about when you got nothing better to do. So, what about that?
Yeah, it's been off. Have you driven anywhere where it just seems like it's just like surreal right now, where you feel like you're driving through like a ghost town?
Well, I am kind of interested when I go to like Walmart or Sam's or Costco or places like that, and there's, 10 people in the store. I mean, the Costco, for example, where I go to, right where I live here, is packed. And I don't care what time of day you go, there is always hundreds of people in there. And on Saturday and Sunday, it's just crazy. But not anymore. The worst part was that first weekend. When it was like going the day after Thanksgiving shopping because everything was crazy with how many people were there. There were long lines to pay for stuff, and I was like, "Oh, this is insane!" But now it's a ghost town in a lot of places that you go. Well.
You know, the first Saturday, right, it was a Saturday before St. Patrick's Day in downtown St. Paul on 7th Street. The main celebration was canceled, but that didn't stop, like, people from flooding down to Tom Reed's hockey cafe where they still had a St. Patrick's Day party.
Okay.
Well, I was meeting up with a friend of mine that writes, he's an editor of the Star Tribune. We were gonna, go have some beers and dinner and that. So we end up at the Loon Cafe in St. Paul, like right in the middle of downtown. Park my car, get out, and mind you, it's a Saturday night, and it just felt like it was like eerily quiet, just really strange. We hung out with the bartender, tried a bunch of different beers, and then we walked over to the Amsterdam bar. And this is how we kind of killed the Saturday night. There was a couple of women that were going to be going to the Jason Aldean concert at the Xcel Energy Center, and obviously that was canceled, but they couldn't cancel their room. So we're drinking beers at the Amsterdam Bar playing a 1990s trivia game.
Okay.
So, yeah, that was our Saturday night.
It's a strange world out there right now, Kevin. It really is, but you know, you got to be safe. So we're not arguing about the, you know, looking out after each other. So
Right. Definitely
needs to go on. Well, Kevin, before we get too crazy into talking about baseball, we did want to speak specifically about a friend of the show and a person that we've come to know a little bit over the years there, Kevin Wynn, who is, I think, technically deputy commissioner now of the Frontier League with the two leagues combining. I reached out to him a little bit ago to see if he was interested in doing the show with us, and he's battling pneumonia right now. So we just want to send our prayers out to him and hope he's doing fine. I know you and Kevin have got to know each other a little bit there over the last couple of years.
Yeah, we connected, I believe, a year or two ago, and we talked quite a bit during the – he was in St. Paul during the All-Star stuff last year, and I got a good chance to talk to him in person. Great guy to talk to. He's been a good connection for mine when I've needed information on stuff, either about the American Association, who he was head of umpires for the American Association until he took a job with the Can-Am League. So he's been one of my leaning boards whenever I've needed to either learn about something or get some info. So, yeah, best wishes, and hope he's better soon.
Absolutely. Well, there isn't a whole lot going around the American Association right now, but there are a few teams that have still kind of remained busy, and I don't really think anybody's been more busy at this point than manager Steve Montgomery over there in Sioux City, as he has kept the signings going on. The most recent was Carlos Sierra, who came in last year initially to be a reliever with the team and then wound up being one of their primary starters and helping in that playoff run. They added Jose Velez re-signed with the team, and they returned catcher Junior Felix. So, you know, I guess some people are still thinking, hey, it's business as usual out there, Kevin.
Right, yeah. There's that unknown right now. You don't know if there's a chance that you could end up starting the season on time. I know there's pessimists are saying, well, there's probably not going to be any baseball at all this year. Well, if there is, you got to be ready for it. So. And Montgomery has shown that he is going to be very active in getting guys in, though I had to kind of tweak him a little bit on Twitter this afternoon because I was listening to your show with him, and there's a question about songs that he would come out of the bullpen for. And he said that one song, Bad to the Bone, or whoever sings that. I'm like, seriously? I could not believe he didn't know George Thorogood and the Destroyers.
Well, what's funny is that he's been asked questions kind of related to this thing before, and he's openly said, I have no idea who the artist is. A couple of weeks ago, he was asked who his top five bands were of all time. And he's like, I don't know. I don't really know. So, you know, it doesn't surprise me that he doesn't know who that is, because I thought when he was talking about Hell's Bells that Trevor Hoffman had from AC/DC, and I thought, well, he didn't know that either, so we have to cut him a little slack. He's just not paying attention to music, I guess.
He would have been a terrible travel mate for someone I used to work with. This guy I used to work with, if you traveled with him, it was a constant, I called it radio roulette. He would hit the search. It would go to the station, song would come on, and it was like a constant contest to name the artist.
Okay. That's interesting.
And it was funny because he would get really animated if this guy, his name was Dan Nagel, and if he didn't know it, he would just, oh, who sings that?
I think what would be interesting is we ought to put him and Michael Dixon in the same room together. Michael seems to like know almost everything, and Steve doesn't know anything at all. That'd be kind of an interesting pairing to talk about music.
Yeah, Steve would end up being the cigar store Indian in that whole deal.
Wow. We also want to mention Fargo-Moorhead trades away Brett Helton down there to Lincoln. So Lincoln's starting to work on building that pitching staff a little bit. Brett had, he was an integral part last year for those Red Hawks. So I'm interested to see who the player to be named later out of that, or what manager Jim Bennett has going on there, Kevin.
Right, yeah, he should get a pretty good cog back in exchange for Helton. Speaking of Fargo, if people want to look it up on YouTube, the Fargo-Moorhead just put out the highlight video from their inaugural 1996 season. I recommend it. I watched bits and pieces of it the other night. I had to give John Dittrich a little grief. Sent him a message. I said, "It was a really nice video. I especially enjoyed the last 10 minutes of it." Well, the last 10 minutes was covering their championship series, which they were swept by St. Paul. But yeah, if you're want to get a little bit of a sense of history with the Fargo-Moorhead Redhawks, I would highly recommend go on YouTube tonight. If you're looking for a baseball fix, go on there and just do a search for Fargo-Moorhead Redhawks and their 1996 highlight video is available.
Let's be honest, people. You have nothing else to do, so you might as well go do that. I mean, let's be realistic about it. Sioux Falls returns Sam Bragg. Last year, kind of served in a bunch of different roles within their pitching staff. I'm
You
hearing that
didn't.
he, yeah, it's true, true. And I'm hearing, if I remember Mike saying, is that he will return back to the rotation, it sounds, this year. So, I guess that's where he wants to be at. So good for him. Winnipeg returns Jose again. So, Victor Cappy and Jose combination. That's quite a combination right there down there in the back end of that bullpen.
Yeah, it's not a bad lefty-righty combo. We'll see. I assume that Jose would be your seventh slash eighth inning guy, but I'm sure you could also close if there was an instance where Campione went too many days in a row.
Well, I like too that it's good to see that manager Rick Forney is back out signing guys again. So, they say that I guess getting back to work kind of helps you to get past some of the grieving time there. And so it's good to see him, getting back into baseball a little bit. It's kind of unfortunate that he's really not going to get much of a chance to get into baseball at this point, but still,
Well,
glad to see.
he's got a good lieutenant there too with Cash Beauchamp, who might be integral too in the signings. So it might not be all Rick Forney's doing. It could be Cash making those deals too.
That's true. You got a good point there. So that's a guy who has a lot of experience, not only in the American Association, but just in independent baseball. So he knows what's
Well,
going on.
yeah, he's extensive time in the Atlantic League, so he's got a pretty good feel on the personnel out there.
Yeah, he knows what's going on out there. Well, otherwise, there really isn't a whole lot going on in signings right now. The latest news that we know of at this point is that the general managers have been meeting every week to discuss what's going on with the league, as well as owners have been doing that every week as well. At this point, we are still believing that May 16th, that American Association Baseball is going to get underway. I do know that the April 15-16 camp, I think, is a training thing they were going to do to where guys could come back down to Texas and audition, I think, is dead right now. But otherwise, I think we're going full speed ahead right now, Kevin.
Yeah, as of now, we haven't heard anything different. I was kind of humored by former New York Yankee closer Mariano Rivera said, "Well, you can't really play a 60-game season and have a true champion." I couldn't help but to think of the 1993 season when you had a 64-game season and two halves in the Northern League. So, even if, let's just say this whole thing doesn't get under control and you can't start the season till middle of June, either jump right into whatever the schedule says or have to sit Josh Buchholz down with that magic pencil and he's got to draw something up again. But I think we'll find a way to get a season in. It might not be all 100 games, Hopefully it is, but if not, this league's resourceful enough to make something work to get some kind of a season in and try to get the fans back to the ballpark and let them enjoy their new normal.
Well, no disrespect to Mariano Rivera, but I seem to remember in 1981 when this player struck in the middle of the year that we had like a 60-game first half and a 55-game first half and a 60-game second half. And then they played a first half versus second half for the division winner and then went on, continued on with there. So 60 games can still work. And I would say, honestly, 60 games is better than zero. That's just my thought.
Right.
So
yeah, I can remember an 11-year-old Kevin not being too happy about that when baseball went on strike.
You weren't the only one.
Granted, being a Minnesota Twins fan, it really was didn't really affect me much because the 81 Twins were pretty brutal. It was like the last Twins team to play at Met Stadium. But when MLB decided to go to two halves, it did make it kind of interesting because the Twins did okay in the second half. And I don't know if the American Association would ever consider going to two halves and getting rid of the wild card for if the season were to be shortened. I don't know. That's a decision for the Joshes to make, and not for the Bob the blogger from St. Paul. So
yeah, that 81 season, the only thing that made it happy for me is I grew up a Dodgers fan and they won. So they won also. That was a big year of Fernando Valenzuela.
Yeah, I was going to say, that was the Fernando Mania year.
Yeah, and so that was pretty exciting stuff out there because people were going crazy out there for that guy. So, and they should have been because that was pretty exciting. He was quite the phenom, and no doubt about it. Let's see. So minor league baseball, right now, although that's in limbo at this point, they're the same thing with major league baseball that they're – I'm gathering that. So here's what I'm hearing from guys that have been around baseball for a while. So if the baseball season, let's say a week from now, they said, hey, everybody come out and let's get cracking. Okay. So I'm hearing it'd take like about a 2-week spring training and then they'd be ready to go with the majors at that point. So, no matter when this happens, you're looking at least half a month away from getting underway whenever that occurs. But I'm assuming that unless this prolongs into August, deep into August, that we're going to have baseball, Kevin.
Right. And I would not be surprised if you saw teams expand their rosters out to like 30, maybe even 33 guys, just because if you have a shortened spring training or hell, might be summer training by then. But if you have that shortened training camp, your pitchers aren't going to be stretched out, and it's going to really tax your bullpen. So I wouldn't be surprised if you see teams allowed to keep five extra arms around just to minimize the wear and tear on the bullpen.
Which I think presents an interesting scenario for independent baseball, because I think if you're looking at five additional arms at the majors, you're probably talking about three or four additional guys, if not more, at each minor league level as well. Which means that, for every team, let's say every team was allowed to keep 30 additional guys on their roster throughout their system. Now that's almost 1,000 players that are no longer available. And man, that would really hurt independent baseball in terms of the quality level.
Right, and maybe you see on the minor league level, maybe they go down to 7-inning games for so many weeks until the arm key is stretched out.
That could be true, too.
It's all conjecture. Like an average baseball crowd seems to be allowed after the 7th inning anyway, so
true.
It'll only make a difference to the 15% hardcores that are still at the park.
You and I talked about before the show about the one team that has to be counting their blessings, let's say, about this is the Houston Astros.
Right. Boy, the whole clown show going on with the sign stealing and what the repercussions have been and what should be, and everybody seems to want to be thrown at the Astros in spring training. Yeah, that's all kind of been forgotten about for now, and we'll see if that percolates as MLB gets started up. But as of now, it all seems to be kind of mum on that front.
Yeah, again, nobody wants a disaster, but I think it was Rob Emanuel who said, you know, never let a good disaster go to waste. And I would think the Astros are jumping on that right now, thinking everybody's kind of forgetting who we were and what we were all about. So,
Worry, the St. Paul Saints will remind everybody
in
July about it.
That's right. You're not getting off that easy. Not for sure. And I bet you there's still a whole lot of pitchers who have long memories about stuff like that. So they'll be bringing it up here at some point. No doubt.
You know, we got to wonder too what and I know the COVID thing has reached below the U.S. to Mexico, and I wonder what's going to go on with the Mexican leagues there, if they're going to be shut down or if they're going to go on. Because I tell you what, if they're not playing baseball here and they are down there, it's going to tempt a lot more guys to be open to possibly going to Mexico to play if they are invited.
Yeah, I asked Steve about this because I think Nate Sampson was going down there, and I think they were initially told they were playing, but that's not true anymore. I think that they're also postponing their league at this point, but I'm going to see if I, let's see, Mexican League Baseball postponed. Let's see if they are. Let's see what Mr. Google says here. Yes, there we go. So they postponed effectively March 15th, and are still in limbo until further notice. So nobody, I think, is playing baseball. Australian leagues are done now. Is that right?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, so technically right now it's getting close to winter in Australia.
Yeah, so none of that. I don't really think the winter leagues are already over for Venezuela and the Caribbean and all those things are over with. So I don't really think we're down to, I don't think there's anybody playing baseball anywhere that I can think of. South Korea probably closed up because of, they were closed up for the country. So I don't know. I don't think anybody's playing baseball right now. I did want to say, I'm glad you mentioned this because I don't think you and I talked about Jose Sermo signing in Mexico down there. Obviously not going to be playing right at the moment, but boy, that's a huge loss in that Sioux City bat lineup there.
Right. Yeah, he was a big cog in the middle of that order the last couple seasons, so be unusual to see a Sioux City lineup without Sermo or Sampson in it.
Exactly. You're losing the number 3 and 4 guy in your lineup right there. That's some big shoes to fill. And I did want to say for fans out there, if you're wondering if Kevin and I have any kind of format to the show, you're learning right now that we don't. So they say, just come to us. There we are. So just wanted to give you that nod.
Well, let's peel the curtain back a little further here. Rob, you're the one that likes to have the format. I'm
at least
the one
somewhat,
that says, let's let it go off the rails whenever possible, because sometimes that's when the better stuff happens. You're the one that has the outline. I'm the one that just says, let's just do the damn thing.
Well, and that's where we're at today. So, because we have no real set agenda. And so you may get all kinds of good information as this show's going along. It's just that none of us thought about it until then. So that's where we're at right now.
Well, it might end up being a show about nothing.
Very true. That's been some weeks.
You know, speaking of that, that is another thing I have devoted myself to. Larry David, the guy that wrote Seinfeld. I've been meaning to all these years to watch Curb Your Enthusiasm. I ran across an episode on HBO the other night. Thought, okay, well, it's all right. Went back, looked on my on-demand thing. All 10 seasons are available, so I've been trying to binge watch Curb Your Enthusiasm. I've got through season 1. Season 2, I don't know, a couple episodes have kind of left me only half interested, but I'm going to try to burrow through and get through all 10 seasons before life returns back to normal again.
You got to binge watch. That's the thing everybody does, I guess, out there. So,
right.
That's the deal. You know, I think a person we need to kind of send our condolences out there to is Connor Ryan. Because not only is he kind of in limbo with baseball here, but he's got to be on the death mat out there about Tom Brady. I mean, he's got to just be laying on the floor in his living room, not wanting to talk to anybody at this point.
Well, you talk about what's going to be a real strange look, you know, when you see Brady on the field for the first time in a Buccaneers uniform. I'm on this, thanks to John Dittrich, who keeps inviting me to these baseball groups on Facebook. I'm on a whole bunch of them now. But one of them, they had a thread. Post a picture of a player in a uniform that just didn't seem right. And to me, the one that always stuck with me, even though I never saw him play in person or on TV, he retired before I started watching baseball, was seeing Harmon Killebrew in a Kansas City Royals jersey.
I could see that. I could totally see that.
I believe somebody posted Kirk Gibson in I don't remember what jersey it was, but it just didn't seem. It was someone he played for late in his career. Didn't seem right.
I thought Steve Garvey in a San Diego Padres uniform was dead wrong after being such a huge part of the Dodgers. That was ridiculous. While he only had a short time in a Boston uniform, I still think Johnny Damon going to the Yankees was ridiculous. Anybody who goes from Boston to New York or vice versa is ridiculous. That's just wrong. Okay, I'm sorry. You know, you're supposed to have hated that team, and what are you doing in their uniform? That's like Brett Favre going to the Vikings. That still never made any sense to me.
I will always hate Steve Garvey because of the 1984 National League Division Series.
Well, see, and he shouldn't have been in that uniform. See, if things
That's
were the
right.
order was restored the right way, that would have never happened. So I'm 100% with you. That should have never happened, ever. Ever.
What was the other one? The other one you mentioned? Yeah, Johnny Damon. You know, I don't know if you're watching MLB Network. They showed the famous Bucky Dent game.
Okay.
And Mike Torres was pitching for Boston. And if you remember the year before that, Torres pitched for the Yankees.
Yeah. What's that
it
about?
It wasn't as big of a deal back then, but it just seemed like as the rivalries heated up over all these years that it seems sacrilegious to ever see a guy go from one of those teams to the other.
Yeah, these two teams have hated each other for, you know, 100 years. You can't be joining the other one. That's just not right. I'm sorry. I don't like it. It's like Mariano Rivera in a Red Sox uniform. Could you imagine what that would have looked like? Crazy. Absolutely crazy.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Yeah, I applaud Rivera for never playing for another team.
It's like Wade Boggs. Didn't he go to the Yankees at the end?
Well, you remember he ended up his career in Tampa Bay.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's right. But he played like 3 years in New York and then went to Tampa Bay. I mean, talk about a guy just hopping around the AL East. What's that about?
Oh, yeah, that's just... And I think you remember at the time, even though he ended up with four teams, I'm seeing Roger Clemens with the Blue Jays just didn't seem right.
Yeah, that's true, too. Yeah. Again, another guy who went to the Yankees. And, you know, George Samus and I talked about this on a couple of occasions where it's the one thing that he hates about free agency. He's happy that players are able to make money, but he hates the fact that you're seeing guys in uniforms that just don't belong there. And this Tom Brady thing, I mean, I'm sorry, but – that's just a Tampa Bay Buccaneers uniform is just not Tom Brady. I just can't imagine that. But we're going to see it, though.
Well, you just really can't get too much of a connection to guys that you root for anymore.
Yeah.
I'm finding that out with my NHL team where, like, my closet, I now have a Jason Zucker and an Eric Halla jersey that are pretty useless because neither of them are on the Wild anymore.
Yeah, they make it so that you got a whole bunch. You got 20 jerseys and signatures and all kinds of other stuff that are completely irrelevant after a little while. And you know, and I sort of get it's a little bit different in football, and maybe you could even say so in hockey because guys are wearing helmets and a little bit harder to kind of identify them. But man, in baseball, you're watching the same guy for 9 innings. He's clear who you are. You know what Bryce Harper looks like, and you know Mike Trout. You know what these guys look like and stuff like that. So when they go to another team, it's just wrong. No offense to them. I get you're trying to make money, and I get that's the state of the game. But don't like it, Kevin.
Why could you imagine Mike Trout playing for anybody other than Anaheim?
No, but I was hearing from some guys inside baseball that. When Harper was considering, when he was first looking at going to Philadelphia, there was some initial plan that Trout was going to join him. And then the Angels came out with some huge offer that he couldn't resist and he decided not to go. But I was thinking, man, what a lineup that would have been, but that would have just seemed odd.
You know, if anyone remembers from the episode we had with Steve Schuster, that I'm a big Dale Murphy fan. And
yeah.
For me, seeing Dale Murphy in the Colorado Rockies uniform in 1993 was just wrong.
And a Philadelphia Phillies uniform, too. That was wrong. I love Dale Murphy. That was when, for fans out there who are too young to know this, it used to be that you didn't get games of the week in baseball, except for on, NBC or ABC. You got one day a week. But then, TBS, which was WTBS back then, and WGN came out with Chicago Cubs baseball and Atlanta Braves baseball that you could watch the whole year. That was awesome. So I loved Dale Murphy and that Atlanta Braves team. But, yeah, he went to Philadelphia and then to Colorado, and I thought, no, that's wrong.
Yeah, there was many afternoons as a 14, 15-year-old. There was no reason for me to even go outside other than to get my paper out done. Which I tried to sneak in during a couple innings of a Cubs game. Of course, getting the route done before the seventh inning stretch before Harry sang.
Exactly. And he used to be really awesome, too. He had he was kind of the originator of names around guys and stuff like that. And I remember spending a summer back in Moline, where my grandparents lived. About 2 hours west of Chicago, and Jody Davis was the catcher of the Cubs. And every time Jody came to bat, he would sing, Jody Davis, King of the Wrigley Frontier. I don't know why that stuck with me, but there you go.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. It was Jody Davis, King of Wrigley Field.
Yeah,
Jody,
that's right. Okay,
Jody
yeah, that's
Davis,
it.
He'll make the other team yield.
Yeah, see, that's sad that we know that. Okay, I'm just going to say that right up front, okay? And so, those were kind of fun times for us, but...
Yeah, I didn't date much when I was 14.
It's a different age now. I mean, you can watch any team you want any time, but that back then, when cable was just out, that was kind of a brand new concept, and so this was where you could get to see baseball all the time. And I don't think it was until, was it 84, 85 that the ESPN got their first contract, something like that with baseball. And then they had baseball every night.
Closer to like 88, 89, I believe.
Okay. You could be right. And then it was on every night. Originally ESPN had baseball on every night. And there was a doubleheader on Friday nights. And Sunday they had a game of the week, which they still do, but you could. I think it was only like Wednesday and Monday. It was the only nights there wasn't baseball on ESPN, and I was in heaven at that point. I was like, that was the greatest thing ever.
Yeah, and SportsCenter. My goodness, you had to watch SportsCenter for all the baseball highlights. And I remember, like in the early '80s, you'd watch highlights and. You'd listen to the background music, it was like instrumentals from songs that were hits.
Yeah, exactly.
I remember watching like Orioles versus Blue Jay highlights, and I'm listening to the instrumentals to Hungry Like the Wolf in the background.
Man, now we're sounding really old. That's for sure. That's
not
for sure.
Old, classic.
That's right. We are classics. That's right. But... now you can watch whoever you want to watch out there on the MLB network at any time, and I guess that's a good thing. So
speaking of stuff to watch, I thought the St. Paul Saints are doing some fun stuff now with reliving old games. They started a week ago with the replay of the ninth inning of the Northern League Championship Series Game 5 of Miracle at Midway. Sean Aaronson sat down with Tom Whaley and just kind of went through what Tom was going through during that stretch. And then a couple days ago, if you want to look it up, Dan Modell was on with Sean Aaronson, and they were reliving Game 3 of the North Division Championship Series when St. Paul was getting no-hit through six innings and came back to defeat Fargo-Moorhead. So they're going to do Games 4 next week and then Game 5 the week after. So I would recommend them tuning into that. I see Dan Vaughn is still has the steakhouse going. He had Dylan Tice and Joe Calfapetra on last week. So still plenty of programming on.
Is Brad and Denning still doing something down there in Cleburne right now? They still doing their show?
Oh, yeah, I'm sure they're doing stuff on and off here.
Let's see, what's the last Rail Talk Live we have here? Oh, man, Denny's got quite the beard on him. Look at Denning over there, man. I guess the last one was about a month ago, so maybe they're kind of in, can't be in the same room together right now at this time. Wow. Man, that is quite a beard Denny's got. I'm not going to deny it.
He's getting the Abe Lincoln look going.
Yeah, that's the way it's looking, Dave. Well, you know, he's honest broadcasting. That's what we're getting right there. Boy, he's going to tell it the way it is. That's what we're looking for. Wow. Well, Kevin, I think that we've dragged this out about as far as we possibly can, but that's a perfect time for a great Kevin Lucco final thought.
Well, you know, I hope for everybody listening today that this was a nice little segue from what's going on. You know, it really sucks what's happening right now, but this is a time where I think you can rediscover some things too. Like, you know, I discovered there's a woman living with me, called my wife. She's really nice. I talked to her on occasion. But, you know, this is the time where you can kind of rediscover your family, stay at home, you know, weather's going to get a little nicer out, do some grill outs, or they can't tell you not to do that. So just make the best of the situation, and time will pass, and granny, you know, it's going to be we'll be coming back to a different kind of America, I assume, like, there'll be enhanced, measures at ballparks, you know, like hand sanitizing stations, and I think the way we do things will become different, but it'll be a new normal, but it'll at least be a normal. So let's just get through this, support each other, don't go hoarding. You know, the suppliers of toilet paper and beer are hard at work, they'll make sure you don't run out. So don't do anything crazy, and don't worry about what you don't got. Just enjoy what you do have. So hang in there, everybody. And, you know, Rob and I will be here every week to either give you a whole bunch of useless information and babble on about our childhoods, or we'll let you know what's going on with the Center of the American Association. But either way, we'll try to entertain you.
Absolutely. And who knows, Kevin might maybe even come up with other ideas for entertainment. So. Keep tuned. You know, stay tuned.
I might just like start randomly picking out baseball cards, and we'll just talk about the cards that I picked out.
Yeah, look, in 1996, this guy hit 320, and look what it says on the back. That's awesome. Well, we want to thank you for joining us this week. For Kevin Lucco, I am Rob Panier, and we will see you next time on This Week in the Association.